Well, it's time.
It is truly all great to see everybody here. And whether you were here for that or opposed to or came from because of, it's still great to see everybody as well, too. First, I'm going to start off with thanking Zach. Mostly sarcastical, half thanking him, and thirdly, half just thanking him. But anyway, he started this ball rolling a while back. And that's what I want to... And what great to see Zach and Kyla. And many hopes, great things for you in your future as well, too. So, again, three times the thanks for Zach for that as well. But with that said... Max was asking me this morning if he had a title to said lesson, and I do, but I don't. And the more I read and wrote, the bigger the title got. So the title, it is not a title. The title is more of three questions. One of the questions would be, who made you who you are? And again, it morphed out to the question of, how do you truly let your light shine, and who is that guiding light that made you shine? Because we've had a lot of discussions recently in other classes about light and darkness, about unity, about several things that drive your force, and essentially why you do what you do and who you are what you are. And this light and this... You can't talk about light and understanding the principles of what God has without love in that too, the driving principles of who you are and what you are and that underlying theme of love. So there's your title. That took 5 minutes to get through, but there's your title for what we're talking about. So from there on, we get to pull down Max's Jumbotron for this next picture too as well. Draw a circle, if you will, and put yourself in the center. And then from then... layered out as onions, and on those layers, put down your influences, those lights that drive who you are and what you are. And I make this circle in my mind on the imaginary. The center, of course, is going to start with parents and family and spouses, and it grows out. What I want to focus more on is the next two or three rings out about who influenced you and who you are and what you are. And then, again, with that underlying tone about the light of your life that you will be. Those influences that influence your life and that are between who we are and the light that should shine. And I want to give a few examples, and they're personal examples. And I'm pretty much everybody here you'll follow along with these examples later on here. But with that, let's go ahead and go to Matthew 5 to start with. Again, something we're all familiar with, but Matthew 5, starting in 14, Jesus is talking here at the Mount of the Sermons. He's already talked about the Beatitudes, and he's talking about the salt and the light. But chapter 5, verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives out light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And this is the understanding that, again, that light, that I want, again, that the title that has been worked over, who made you who you are? What influences have got you where you are? Who is that light that you've looked up to? And I'm from inward looking out. Who are that light that you are? And again, I've made a note of this about talking about, with all this, with underlying love. And sometimes I find it difficult to talk about love because real men don't do that. And we'll talk about that later too. A wise man told me once, "I told you I loved you," or told his wife, "I told you I loved you, and if I change my mind, I will let you know." So again, we understand love being several different layers, and there's a name for it all too. But when love, it turns into Hallmark card, it's not just easy. But we all understand what God means when he talks about through love and the understanding of God with that love too as well. But that makes it challenging in itself. But through that love, a person cannot be a true servant of God without that love. You can't be part of God without knowing that love and sharing that love and making that light. I call it the fuel for that light under the candle. That love needs to be lit to be that as well. I done skipped a verse too. That's okay. Romans 12. I didn't mark that down. Romans 12, verse 9. What love is and what God has given us. And talking about that fuel for that light that we do not hide under the basket. But I'm going to make that analogy as what is the fuel for that light that shines as an example of those above. 12 verse, starting in verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spirit fervor, serving the Lord. And then goes on to be patient and sharing. Again, this giving the light and being a light to the world, of the world, and understanding what that is. Is this always easy? Do we always want to be a light among the world? Is it always the best for me? And a lot of those questions you have to answer, that's a personal question too, about God wants us to be a light of the world and share that light that He has with that understanding what the love that He has given for it too. Well, understanding too that love, that influence, that circle, the understanding that has driven the thing. I find myself, again, I need to get these examples, but I find myself in my life, especially my younger years, there are many things that I, more importantly, didn't do because of that light, those examples, those people, the congregation, the community. There are a lot of things I did because of these people too, but there's a lot, more to the point, I think there's a lot of things I didn't do because I knew what was expected, the example that was given to me, and the understanding that was as well. So with one more in James chapter 3, 3 and 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by his deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. And skip on down to 17 there a little bit. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is the first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Here it is talking about that sincere, the understanding what love is, the sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace and raise harvest in righteousness. So then, now I'm going to get my examples that I've been talking about too as well too. This gets really personal. Maybe that's a good idea. Maybe that's not a good idea. I don't know. But this is my podium, so therefore it's your lesson. Examples. I brought Mary Mowdy. I've never been arrested. I've never been taken in for questioning, but I've been to Mary's house. And I have been questioned to that point where it just, but that's the point I'm making with these examples, is talking about this love, this understanding. Mary wanted to know, truly wanted to know how your life was and how are things in life. And if she had a camera, she wants to take a picture of how things are in your life and make sure she did that. As well as you never left her house without candy. But that's kind of the side point to that piece. But to understanding that love, that sincere, this, the examples of what life is in that lining on the hill. Lana. What can you say about Lana? Poor girl, surrounded by boys and cowboys at that for her whole life. But when I got to think about that too, the few times I'd been to her house, you never felt more at home, never felt more like your own home around your own mother than you did at Lana's house. And I say that because you sat a little straighter and you were a little more polite. And most of all, you were comforted. You were comforted. You understood. There was that giving, that love, that understanding. And she was truly concerned about what people and what visitors in her home. And that was her life. Again, examples of what a light should be on a hill. That brings me to Foy. I have to share a sweet story about Foy. I've never told this story, and I do with a little intimidation too as well. It was early junior high, little bitty fella. And I was sweet on a girl, and how Foy ever knew this, I'll never know, but he knew this. And he wanted me to invite said sweet little girl to church services, and he would ask every time we'd come together. Again, how he knew that, I don't know that. But that is not, again, the example that he laid in love and understanding. He wanted us to share. He wanted us to be part of. He wanted us to encourage. And his encouragement was by encouraging. Another story I share about Foy, too. The days and weeks that led up to my Army unit being shipped overseas, looking back, it was nothing serious. But the Army unit, we were still leaving home. And I can remember talking to Foy about certain things, about leaving and the ideas. But I would talk to Foy in a way that nobody else could understand. Because Foy knew a little something about leaving home and leaving the ones you cared to a place that was not unsure. That was unsure. For those who don't know, Foy flew planes in the war. So he knew what it was to live home. But I could see this in his concern, his well-being and understanding of what, not only myself, but for the family that was going to be left home behind, and the understanding of what was going to take place, the concern, the love, the understanding of what Christ has meant there, especially in James 3, about lead your life in that love and that understanding, sincere in what you will. A few others. Brant Sheets, again, some of these names that many of you are very unfamiliar, because these are names from way in the past. Branch was one of those good old boys that I literally grew up across the fence from. An old mechanic, another Army veteran, and I never really understood how come Branch lifted his pants up with his wrist. Y'all remember that? But he'd lift his pants with his wrist because his hands were always greasy. Even at church service, you'd still lift his pants up. But I love Branch. Branch came over and we overhauled a pickup when I was a sophomore in sophomore in high school. And he said it to Branch. Anytime Branch would overhaul something, he'd have a bucket of bolts left over. And it was, we don't need that. It still runs. We had that bucket of bolts left. But again, he truly wanted better. He was studied in the fact. You know, just a good hometown kind of guy, but he cared. He truly cared. And again, I don't want to leave anybody. That's what I almost didn't do, was picking names out of a hat, because I know I'm going to leave a lot of people out. But again, this is the personal side of this lesson, so this is my podium. This is what it. And I bring up French, and people really don't name the kids like they used to. We've got Foy, Branch, and French. Foy, Branch, and French. Anyway, they don't name kids like they used to, do they? French was, if Dave's the prince of the good old boy, French was the king of the good old boys. I love French because he was always there Sunday morning. He had a smile. He had a joke. He had a story for whatever the case may be. And one other quick story about French, too. And for those that don't know, when we have communion, the four men go to the back and we have our prayers, and we're going to come forward to lead a prayer for the contribution, separate apart. There is typically a 2 to 3 second conversation about who is going to lead said prayer. There was no conversation with French. It was, you are going to do it. Yes, French, I will do that. I'm happy to do it. And again, now whether or not I too never know the meaning of why, but I want to pretend, and I think I know, we were young men. We were really young men leading these prayers. French was not going to let us mosey out of it. This was a responsibility, and this is something that we needed to take care of. So that's what we did. Again, and there's a lot of these things, and I talk about these people, and this example, this what he's talking about in what is it, 13, who is wise and understanding among you, let him show it by his good life, by his deeds, done in humility that comes from wisdom. An experience that these people, obviously they had a lifetime of growing and maturing in the church and becoming part of that. At this time, I should apologize. For those of you who don't know these people I just talked of, I apologize. But I have no doubt that you can think of the own people in your own life and fill in said makes. But at that as well, I'm sure if you had known these people, you would have definitely been a better person. The example that they led, their lives, maybe not be personal people, but they were happy to share with what they had and truly understood with love and humility that work, that deeds that God expects us to be, that life that God expects us to be. These are the examples that we live by. And I'll leave that with you. You lay down tonight. Think about those people in your life, the ones that have made you who you are, whether that circle be the close home or the other ones out, and understand why. Why do they mean so much to you? Why did they leave an impression on your life? And I think that's what you'll find. More often than not, these were truly individuals that were anchored in what God expected of us to be, in humility, in works, and deeds, and truly love children of God as well, too. I dare say, too, that these people I've talked about would not be the first to say, yes, I'm a light. Yes, I'm an example. They would be the ones to tell you that, no, I have made mistakes in my life. And I stand here as well to say, there are a lot of things that I still mess up in life and I struggle with. This idea of being a light to the world, to understanding the people through Christ, through love, and God understands we are going to make mistakes. These are the things that we're going to have to get through and work to know and get and be better people at, be better Christians at. But we will try to walk in the light as He is in the light. Then that basket can be removed from that. These same individuals I talk about. How do you know? I mean, these again, it's a personal level. But I sat at each one of these funerals, at each one of these individuals, at the end of each one of these lives that they lived. You don't do that without feeling the love. You don't sit at a funeral without feeling the respect and the true caring, the understanding lines, the means. So this is how do you know? You know at the end of the life, after said and done, the feelings that they leave behind, either inside and amongst an entire full auditorium of people overflowing, literally overflowing outside the doors, the respect that these people leave behind them, the light that God expects us to live. This is what He wants of us and expects of us. That life living toward it too. Ephesians chapter 4. Again, we covered Ephesians chapter 4 in class this morning with Tim, and he's talking about the unity of Christians and the understanding that's what God wants from us. But tonight I'm going to read Ephesians 4 in the sense of that responsibility that we have for the light of the world, which in turn is essentially the same as the understanding. Ephesians 4, starting 1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing with one another, in love. There it is again, that fuel of a light on a hill. Making every effort to keep up unity of the Spirit through the bonds. And then, of course, I'm going to continue on. There is but one body, one Spirit, just as you are called the one hope when you are called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father. Again, I'm going to harken back to what I'm talking about too, these examples. If anybody is to be put on an example of these four I've mentioned, the understanding that all this being said, the life living, the life lived in harmony with the Word, with the love, with the expectations of what God wants us to be. These are the things we'll know. And then that turns the corner. How will we be remembered? We understand. And that's, again, this is back to the point I was talking about earlier about just talking about love. The love of a Hallmark card is different from love of what God wants us to share with each other. How can we be examples to each other? That example can exist, but I don't think it will exist to the extent without that love, that giving, that understanding, the respect of each other, the respect of what God wants us to share with each other. Rick alluded this morning about the things that are going on in our nation right now too. There is a separation between that respect and that love and that light, that understanding, and then the actions of man over trumps what God wants us. And then we get disasters, tragedies, if you will, that should not be without that love, or with the, if that love was truly been there and been a part of that as well too. Again, that kind of got jumbled there at the end, but that in essential is where I'm going to end up with too. The understanding of who we can be, what we can be, and without that love for God, without that love for each other, without man itself, not just the body of Christians, but give that a thought. I'll leave that lesson with you. And we do offer the invitation, but when you do have a chance, think about those ones that have made you who you are and the examples that you strive toward be, and to be a better person with that too as well. So with that, I'll give the invitation to you. And for those any needs of the congregation, won't you please do come as we stand and as we sing.